change comes at a busy time at the district. The school board is considering a school consolidation plan. This calls for the possible closing of Spruce Run School. The district's teachers and support staff are still working under an expired contract, and the Clinton Township Council is exploring bringing back a public vote on school budgets. School board meeting will be held at the auditorium at the Clinton Township Middle School, and it happened on 7:30 last night. So there's a lot of interesting parts to this, which are a little bit disconcerting. Number one, it's up for a school vote, but we don't know actually who it is. And we're scheduling a meet and greet, which implies that the vote is already kind of decided. It's just, this is rubber stamping it. I don't.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
About half the people who voted for Democrat Bernie Sanders in the West Virginia primary say they'd vote for Republican Donald Trump in the general election before they'd vote for Hillary Clinton. Sanders defeating the former Secretary of State by double digits in West Virginia. Clinton still favored to win the Democratic nomination. Donald Trump compiles his list of possible running mates.
I would say that I have in mind five different people. I think they're excellent. I'll announce whoever it will be at the convention.
That's Trump speaking on Fox News' The O'Reilly Factor, refusing to say exactly which names are on his short list. Also looking forward to his upcoming meeting with Republican House Speaker Paul Ryan, who has yet to formally endorse him.
He's a very good man. He wants what's good for the party, and I think we're going to have very positive results. I'd love, frankly, for him to stay and be chairman.
For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
And this is USA Radio News.
If you'd like to control your blood pressure without medication, I have some exciting news. My name is Floyd Brown, and I'm the CEO of USA Radio. It's called the Zona Plus, and it's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. I'm using it myself. 22 clinical studies confirm regular use of the Zona Plus can decrease your blood pressure by 10% or more. That's why it's been written about by Harvard, the Mayo Clinic, and the American Heart Association. As a listener to USA Radio, the company is offering you a special savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to ZonaPlusUSA.com. That's ZonaPlusUSA.com. Or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention USA Radio and save $50 on your Zona Plus and change your life. Remember, ZonaPlusUSA.com.
Well, senators want Facebook to explain how it decides what news is trending. A Senate committee starting an inquiry after reports that a former Facebook employee said the social media giant suppressed conservative news items while inserting other stories into the trending topics list. Facebook denying the allegations. Waiting in long lines at the airport's never fun. A new social media campaign aims to provide an outlet for you to share your frustration with fellow passengers. Traveler Jim Hall expresses emotions shared by millions on a daily basis.
Usually I'm in a hurry when I hit this airport. I've got someplace to go. I do see people very stressed because they didn't realize that it's beyond the hour sometimes that you'd expect.
A traveler's group called Airlines for America introducing the I Hate the Wait campaign, encouraging fed-up flyers to post their frustrations and information on long lines on social media. A spokesperson for one of the airports saying increased flights to more destinations, what's causing longer lines and shorter tempers. And Brazilian soccer star Rivaldo telling people because of the increased violence, stay away from the Summer Olympics in Rio de Janeiro. This is USA Radio News.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck as a gift to Dave 2037, so he can spend it on things like anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman. Something cool like that. I think Dave 2037 deserves it. He worked hard. What are you getting Steve 2037?
I guess I was thinking Steve 2037 would just fend for himself.
Well, all right. But don't expect to be borrowing my anti-gravity boots.
You want to have money in your...
Three communities cleaning up, at least 10 people recovering from injuries after a huge tornado rips through western Kentucky. The storm that swept across the southwest corner of the state yesterday afternoon damaging homes and businesses. Twister's also touching down to the east near Greenfield and farther north in Union County. A Texas man says a dead rodent was found inside his grandson's bottle of Dr. Pepper soda. USA Radio's Tammy Rose reports...
It wasn't until the 20-ounce Dr. Pepper bottle was half empty that anyone noticed what was inside. A rodent, a few inches long with beady eyes and a long tail. John Graves says his 3-year-old grandson, Caden, drank the soda.
You think of rabies, you think of dirty, filthy rodents.
A Dr. Pepper spokesperson says it's virtually impossible for something to get into one of their bottles. Graves reached out to the company for answers, but wasn't happy with their response.
We're going to send you a box with the label, send it back to us, and in 6 to 8 weeks, we'll get a response back to you on what we figure out. I want to get the rat tested, see where it came from, how it got there, and if there's really any, you know, medical concerns that we need to be worried about.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tammy Rose.
And Connecticut Senator Richard Blumenthal wants airlines to stop charging baggage fees for the summer. He sends a letter to 12 major airlines saying that the increased baggage fees are forcing people to bring on more carry-on luggage, which increases wait times at security checkpoints. This is USA Radio News.
Good afternoon and welcome to Counselors Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's program. And I am going to be talking to you about being a licensed professional counselor. And as the name of this program, Counselor Chat, may indicate that counseling is a huge aspect of actually the only focus of this show. One of the reasons that I do talk about being a licensed professional counselor on occasion, sometimes it is to promote my own practice, but even more so, it is about promoting what it means to be a professional counselor or a licensed professional counselor or a licensed mental health counselor. Now, being a counselor is very different than being a social worker or being a psychologist or psychiatrist, and even very different from being a coach. It is important to note the differences between all of these different categories of mental health care providers, mainly because you are able to make a better choice of who is going to serve your needs the best. So in the United States, licensed professional counselors, or sometimes other states might call them licensed clinical counselors or licensed mental health counselors, provide mental health and substance abuse care to millions of Americans. As a licensed professional counselor, I have my master's degree in mental health care and service. I've been trained to work with individuals, families, and groups to treat mental, behavioral, and emotional problems and disorders. In addition, I have also been taught how to diagnose. Licensed professional counselors make up a large percentage of workforce employees in community mental health centers, agencies, nursing homes, hospitals, other organizations, and oftentimes are employed within and are covered by managed care organizations, healthcare insurance providers, and other mental health plans. Licensed professional counselors also work actively with military personnel and their families, as well as veterans. So as you can see, a licensed professional counselor works way across the board with many different types of people and many different types of issues. Now, to become a licensed professional counselor, and currently the way it works is that each state licenses the person to counsel within their state. So, an LPC is a licensed professional counselor. I am an LPC, and my license is in the state of New Jersey. There are also LCSs, so they're licensed professional counselors who are also supervisors. In other words, what that means is that they can supervise people who are licensed professional counselor associates. In other words, they have applied for their license to become licensed professional counselors. And Under the same umbrella, we also have people with the same degree who are licensed marriage and family therapists. So, what in the world makes the difference for someone who is a licensed professional counselor? Why would I or you choose a licensed professional counselor? Isn't a licensed clinical social worker as good? Or a psychologist? Or for that matter, a psychiatrist? Well, it's really important to note that oftentimes a psychiatrist who may make an initial diagnosis, spend an hour with you, interviewing you, and prescribing medication will say, I will see you back in 3 months, review your medication, is it working for you, and re-prescribe or make adjustments as needed. So nowadays, a psychiatrist mainly handles the medication. Many psychiatrists no longer sit and do talk therapy. My understanding of someone who has their master's in clinical social work, they needed to pass a test and take some extra courses for the clinical aspect of being a social worker. But primarily, their greater avenue of study is in the social sciences, meaning urbanization, society, social standards, political standards, those types of things. Also licensed to practice in the state. But a licensed professional counselor, they need to pass also a national test, generally provided by the National Board for Certified Counselors. It is a national test. And you have needed to study 9 areas of therapy. Now, whoever knew that there were 9 areas of therapy? But to gain a license, you need to show that you are proficient in these 9 areas. So I'm actually going to take a little break, and I'm going to come back and talk to you a little bit about these 9 areas that a licensed professional counselor needs to be proficient to be able to counsel, to be able to get licensed. So I will be back in just a few moments after a few commercials. I'm Ruth Altamura-Roll, your host for Counselor's Chat.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost resonant frequency technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamira Roll, your host for today's program, and I'm talking about what it means to be a licensed professional counselor. I am a licensed professional counselor. I have my master's degree in counseling. I am a nationally certified counselor. So those are all of the letters after my name. And basically what it means is that I needed to study counseling, and to be certified, nationally certified, I needed to take the national exam, and I needed to be proficient in 9 areas of counseling. In addition, I needed to pass the exam to also become licensed. Currently, within the state of New Jersey, you need to have 4,500 hours of supervised counseling experience from going from a licensed professional counselor associate to a licensed professional counselor. So there is a lot of supervision that is required. One of the things that I remember that holds true to me for me today is the duty to not harm. Now, that comes from being proficient in law and ethics. So that is one of the 9 areas, law and ethics. So every year, to maintain my license, I need to continue to get education credits. I need to take education credits in law and ethics to maintain my knowledge of the law in New Jersey. And I also need to sign that I am following the ethics of the American Counseling Association and the National Board for Certified Counselors, and that I meet their standards and qualifications. So there are some things that are based in law, such as by law. If I know that someone is in real imminent danger of homicide, suicide, child abuse, or elder abuse, by law, I must call and report that person. By law, I need to follow the HIPAA laws and keep confidentiality. So that's something that's also important to know. However, there are things like ethics, and ethics is how I set my standards for payment, how I manage my time with my clients, those types of things. So my interaction with the clients. Keeping my practice both grounded, I'm going to use that word, in law and ethics, keeps my client safe. And it's imperative as a licensed professional counselor to see to it that my clients feel safe in the counseling experience. Why is that? Well, if you don't trust your therapist, if you don't trust your counselor, if you don't feel safe in that counseling environment, you are not going to share all of the things that you need to share. It's imperative. So having a good, strong grounding in law and ethics. Again, the duty to do no harm. That's an ethic. Those things are really important. really important. So another area that I needed to study to be proficient is statistics. Now you would say, why in the world would a counselor need to know about statistics? Well, there are articles that I read or courses that I take where statistics are put out to help guide. Okay? Sometimes I even use statistics within my counseling session. I did so today. I mentioned that 50% of couples divorce in the United States and second marriage is 60%. That's a statistic. I use statistics when I talk about things like addiction. So there's having that knowledge. However, a licensed professional counselor can, and sometimes we do our own studies. That means I may want to take a sample group, and I may have something that I'm interested in doing some exploration. I need to know how to handle it statistically so that I can be statistically accurate in my study. Then we have assessments. And assessments are different from statistics in that an assessment is being able to give a test. Now, there are many tests, personality tests, there are anxiety tests, there are depression tests. So there are many tests, and as a therapist, I need to know a good range of tests, okay, their validity. Now, that goes to the statistics of how valid the questions are in these tests, being able to interpret a test, give my clients a test, all of those things, suggest tests for my clients. So I need to have a good knowledge of assessments, how to assess my clients and test. And also under that goes the diagnosis. I need to be able to make an assessment of what's going on with my client, sometimes using a test, sometimes having a really good understanding of the DSM-5, which is a diagnostic manual. Okay, and so all therapists need to have that manual so that we can make a good and correct assessment for what's going on with our clients. As a licensed professional counselor, I needed to learn theory. Now, everything about counseling really is based in theory. In theory means, well, we can test it, and chances are, in theory, these things work. And even sometimes, in practicality, they work. But theory is the types of tools and techniques that I can bring into the counseling session. And theory generally started with learning about Freud and Alfred Adler and Erik Erikson and development, childhood development, all of those things, to other theories where we're talking about things like cognitive behavioral therapy or reality therapy or client-centered therapy. These theories give techniques that we can use as a counselor to aid us in helping the client and not hurting the client. So there are many techniques. I studied 9 theorists. There are a lot more than just 9. But those are the 9 that I studied in my attaining my master's degree. And I use quite a bit of that information within my counseling practice. I tend to lean a little bit more towards cognitive behavioral therapy, but I do find that I use many of the other things. Then I talk about schemas and constellations and genograms. A genogram is when it's like a family tree. However, it's not just a regular family tree of who's related to who and who married who and who had what children. And it really, a genogram looks at things that are going on in people's lives. So the illnesses, the mental illnesses, the types of relationships, the types of broken relationships, the kind of wars or that are, might have been going on, or diseases, or famine, or economic struggle, or education level. All of these things, you know, abortions and miscarriages and violence, and that's what a genogram does. It looks like it takes the family, go back several generations, and we talk about all of these different things. Oh, so your great-grandfather was an alcoholic. Your grandfather was an alcoholic, and two of his brothers were an alcoholic. Your grandmother's father was an alcoholic. She married an alcoholic. Okay, your grandfather was an alcoholic. Your father is an adult child of an alcoholic. Begin to look at patterns such as that within families. And there are clues in terms of what might be going on. Oh, so there was someone, and I'll ask people, you know, was there anyone in your family with schizophrenia? There was. Okay, that's important to know. Or anyone struggling with depression or anxiety or gambling or workaholism or abandonment issues. You know, I've had clients, though, yeah, you know, my father, he was adopted. He was put in an orphanage when he was 3. Oh, okay. It's important because it gives me an understanding of the family dynamic. So I tuck that in my head, and it becomes a useful tool when I am working with my clients. And all of these things are based in theory, inner child work, theory. So all of these things. Codependency. It's a theory. So we talk about these things, and I've needed to learn about these things. And theory was also important because that theory is the cornerstone for the rest of the core issues that I, the core studies that I needed to learn to become a licensed professional counselor. Because the theories, those are my tools. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about where I'm going to use these tools in some of those other areas. However, I am going to take a little break. I did not give the weather at the beginning of the hour, and I do have a few commercials to play. So I'm going to take a little break. I'm going to play a couple commercials, give you the weather, and I will be back with Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, licensed professional counselor and your host for today's program.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The weather for Hunterdon County in Flemington, it is currently 69 degrees with a few clouds. And this afternoon will be partly sunny with a high near 71. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 51. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 72. Winds will be calm coming from the southeast. And then Thursday night, a slight chance of showers before 2 a.m. There'll be patchy drizzle before 8 a.m. on Friday, and then a chance of showers between 8 and 11. Some possible thunderstorms after 11 in the morning on Friday. Otherwise, it'll be cloudy with a high near 72. Friday night, slight chance of more showers before 2 a.m., and then mostly cloudy with a low of 53. Saturday, there's a slight chance of showers after 8 a.m. It'll be otherwise partly sunny with a high near 68. And Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low of 44, leading us to Sunday, which will be mostly cloudy with a high near 61. And it is currently 12:31.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamir Roll, licensed professional counselor, and I'm talking to you about being a licensed professional counselor and what that actually means. As a counselor, I needed to get my master's in counseling. I needed to take a national exam, which was provided by the National Board of Certified Counselors, and I needed to do that to get my license to practice in New Jersey. One of the things that's really important to know about licensed professional counselors is that we needed to be proficient, as I had said earlier, in 9 core areas: law and ethics, statistics, assessment, and theory are some of the ones that I've already talked about. And the thing about theory is the toolbox. That's how I like to think of it. It's the toolbox that I use in the other core areas. Now, what are the other core areas? Well, one of them is marriage and family. So I needed to take a course in marriage and family therapy. Again, using some of the techniques that I've learned and applying them to marriage and family. So I am qualified to work with couples and do couples counseling or family counseling. One of the things that I learned in couples counseling was that families are a system, and I do agree with that, so that each person plays a role in the family. And if you take one person out of that, the family has to readjust, like roles get changed around. Oftentimes what happens in the family where there is an issue with a child, we're going to send the child to counseling. Oftentimes that child is called the identified patient. Well, that's because that's the person that's showing there's a problem in the system. And so we might want to look at that identified patient, but looking at the whole family is absolutely imperative, because what is going on in the family that is causing this one person to act out? So that's one of the things that can happen in family counseling. One of the theories that I use in couples counseling is called Imago theory. And Imago theory states that, Imago meaning the word mirror image, you know, we talk about opposites attract. It's basically that kind of thing where we look at, what is it about you or what is it about me that was attracted to you and attracted to me? What wounds that we're trying to heal? Things that pull us together to make a complete picture of needs being met within a relationship. And so we look at that. Look at what some of the wounds are. Begin to heal those wounds and make the relationship whole. One of the things that I needed to study was culture. So I needed to take a whole course in looking at the different ethnicities and cultures of human beings across the globe. It was important to do that because it opens up our eyes as therapists, as counselors, to the different needs, requirements, standards, and ethics of different cultures. So there may be a culture where education is extremely important. Honor is extremely important. Time management is not that important. Family may not be as important. Education, I think I mentioned that. So it's interesting. Religious practices, traditions, those kinds of things, and how they may affect the counseling process. So it's really important as a counselor to know about different cultures and what those cultures bring to the counseling experience and how I can apply the theory to the different cultures that may come to me. I needed to learn about career counseling. Again, using theory, and in career counseling, what that meant was that I don't help someone find a job. The way career counseling was taught to me is, in terms of counseling, it is more about finding purpose and fulfillment in life. So it's not about finding a job, though that may be included in that. So finding, you know, helping someone with a resume and talking about what kind of sites to go on to look for a job, what kind of education you might need, what your interests are. So giving someone an interest inventory test, there's the assessment aspect, can be really a useful tool. But also talking about, again, life purpose and feeling fulfilled in what you're doing as a career, and recognizing that nowadays people don't get a job at 18 and retire from that company at 65, that for the most part people have 3 or 4 or 5 careers throughout their life. And so it can change, and that's okay. And it's actually a healthy thing. So career counseling is something that I needed to learn, and that was one of the core issues. And it's something that does come up within counseling individuals, even counseling couples. They can come up. Another area of study for me was group counseling. And I believe everyone who has their master's in counseling, who have been nationally certified, it's one of the core issues, one of those 9 core. Group counseling, how to lead and facilitate a group. And so we needed to learn about group dynamics, how to facilitate, how to use the theories in our group settings. So that's part of group counseling, and I've done quite a bit of group counseling in my time. It's something that I enjoy doing, and I'm really grateful that I've had several courses in how to do group counseling. It's daunting at first if you don't know how to do it, and group counseling can be very effective with the clients and also very cost effective, because then the clients don't pay quite so much. But group counseling, okay. I also needed to learn about addiction. And so there's addiction counseling. And as we all know, addiction is running rampant in our country right now. We are really in an epidemic phase of addiction. And it was learning about addiction, that addiction is a disease, and learning how to treat the disease of addiction. So as you can see, counselors can be in all different kinds of facets of the counseling experience. So I may have a family where someone is struggling with addiction. So that family comes in, I also treat that family as a group, because I might have 3 or 4 people in my office. And so it is a form of group counseling. And they may have a specific cultural issue that they are dealing with. I need to be able to maintain the ethics around confidentiality within the family and for the family. So as you can see, all of these things play a role in my ability to be a counselor. And I'm going to say I, for one, am extremely grateful to the College of New Jersey, which when I went was Trenton State College, for providing what I felt was an excellent, excellent education in becoming a counselor. One of the first, I think the first accredited school in the state of New Jersey. And that accreditation helps with the certification and the licensure and all of those things. So as you can see, a licensed professional counselor is well educated. We need to know just about everything there is about everything, or at least some aspects of it. One of the things that I say to my clients upon first meeting someone is that I am what I call holistic in my counseling approach. That means I'm not against medication, but it's not the first thing that I do. So if you're coming to me with depression or anxiety, I don't say, okay, let's get you on a medication. I have tools from my theory classes. I have tools that I want to provide to see how you can start using these tools that maybe you don't need medication. Maybe we need an adjustment in thinking. Can it really be that simple? Sometimes. So, in terms of holistic, it's also about treating you the whole person. So now I'm shifting a little bit to person-centered therapy. Well, you, the whole person, I need to be present. I need to have empathy. I need to be understanding. I need to help you look at your cognitive life, your belief systems. That's what that means. Your emotional life, your behavioral life, what goes on with your, with, you know, with your behaviors, your physical life, how you're taking care of your health and your relationships, and your spiritual life. And yes, as counselors, we do talk about spirituality. So when I look at it that way, I'm treating you the whole person. I don't really like to leave anything out. So we will talk about your sleep, your exercise, your diet, your medications, medications that you might be taking for depression or anxiety, medications that you might be taking for high blood pressure or diabetes. All of those things play a role. Looking at belief systems. So I want to know about your values, your perceptions, your rules. Yes, we all have rules. People should. I should. And I know for those of you who've listened to my show in the past, I've talked about cognitive behavioral therapies. A lot of that, the shoulds or the musts or the oughts, I can't stand it, I can't tolerate it, this is terrible, this is awful, you never, I never, I always. Those are all indications of belief systems that may not work. So we explore, okay, those cognitive aspects. We also look at emotions and wounds, things from your past where you have fear, anxiety, resentment, hurt, those types of things. And we look at resolving those issues. And of course, what's going on in your relationships? Do you have a healthy relationship? What is your relationship like with your parents, your siblings? Do you have friends that are supportive? Do we need to work at building a good support system so that you have people in your life who are supportive for you, that are there for you, who are there to listen to you? So to break through isolation. And when I talk about spirituality with my clients, I don't push religion. Some of my clients are very religious. Some are not. Some are atheistic. That doesn't mean you cannot be spiritual. And this is what I mean. Spirituality is about connection. How I connect with myself. How much I know myself. What my needs are, my wants are, my desires, my aspirations. My creativities, my shortcomings, and my failures. It's the way I connect with other people in my life. Do I have good support? Am I caring? Am I loving? Am I patient? Am I kind? Am I angry? Am I brutal? Am I sarcastic? Okay. And then my relationship to the universe or the world around me. Gaining a sense of awe, a sense of peace, showing respect for the world, feeling a part of that rather than a part from. So I need to take another quick little commercial break, and I am Ruth Altamir Roll, your host for today's program, Counselor's Chat.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325. You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamira Roll, your host for today's program. I'm also a licensed professional counselor, and I'm talking about what it means to be a counselor. Now, for me, I have been in this field for over 30 years. I started as a volunteer at the Somerset County Home for Temporary Displaced Children, which is a youth shelter. And then I moved to a place called the Good News Home for Women, which is here in Hunterdon County, which is a long-term Christian-based drug and alcohol rehab. And from there, I went to Crawford House, which is a halfway house for women also recovering from drug and alcohol addiction. From there, I opened up my private practice about 16 and a half, 17 years ago. So I've had quite a history of working within this field. I am a member of the American Counseling Association, the New Jersey Counseling Association, and I've been very active on the board of the New Jersey Mental Health Counseling Association. I also lead a peer support group where other counselors, we get together and we talk about things that are going on in our private practice, give each other support and aid, around our private practice, around clients that we might be struggling with, and also just to develop friendship and camaraderie and just get some support for ourselves. One of the things that's really important as a licensed professional counselor, because we are caretaking in so many ways, it is important that we take care of ourselves first. And so that has always been something that's been important to me in terms of being a good counselor. But yes, May is National Mental Health Month, and it is something that we have been doing since 1949. We recognize that mental health is an issue. I don't usually like saying mental illness. However, this year, the Mental Health Month, their theme is life with a mental illness. And does mental illness really exist? Well, you know, we need to remember that the brain is an organ. So just like we can have problems with our liver, our kidney, our stomach, our skin, our eyes, we can have problems with our brain. And sometimes these problems are related to chemical imbalances where medication is then most likely required. But the exciting thing about the brain is that the brain is also able to heal itself through neuroplasticity, which means plasticity, I'm having trouble with that word, is plastic, it's bendable. That means that we can create new habits of behavior, new habits of thinking, new habits of perceiving, new habits of self-care. When we make these new habits, we actually change the chemical levels in our brain. So that when I think positive thoughts, my brain begins to fire off and make greater feel-good neurotransmitters. So it's an interesting organ in that it can look at itself, talk to itself, and heal itself. No other organ in our body can do that. And for me, I don't like using the word illness necessarily as much as I prefer mental health. Because I think that's really the goal. And I don't want to get stuck in a mental illness. So living with a mental illness, yes. How are we living with that in a way where we're talking about mental health? So when I have a client that comes to me that says, I just want to be normal, I say, normal doesn't exist if you want to be healthy. It might be normal. The average person might have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for lunch every day. That's normal. 95% of the country does it. If I'm allergic, and that's not a statistic to hold to, I haven't looked that one up. However, to hold to that and say, well, I need to eat peanuts too, like everyone else, to be normal, but I'm allergic to peanuts, it's not going to work for me. So I need to move and shift to the word health. Health. Mental health. And what's healthy for me and what's healthy for you can be two different things. Peanuts is an example. So one of the focuses or a main focus for me as a licensed professional counselor is helping someone achieve mental health. Learning how to cope is also another big aspect. So part of what it feels like, how to cope with it. What are some tools, some techniques, coping skills? These things are important, and these are things that I bring to my practice. The interesting thing is that talk therapy really does work. And one of the ways I explain it to incoming clients is if I had a bottle of spoiled milk, and I wanted to put fresh milk in that bottle. If I open up the lid and just pour fresh milk in with the spoiled milk, I would just get more curdled, spoiled milk. I cannot freshen up spoiled milk with sweet milk. I need to pour out the old milk, the rotting milk, the stinky, lumpy milk. It needs to come out of the bottle. I need to see it, experience it, and let it go down the drain. Wash out the container, and I could then put my sweet milk into the fresh container. And I look at therapy quite like that. I believe that anyone who comes into therapy has a lot of courage and generally have been, they're in a lot of pain because what they are doing is not working for them. And that counseling and the theories that I've learned and the techniques that I have as a counselor provide ways to move forward, let go, and heal. So, if you are interested in finding out more about what I do, and I'm going to keep talking a little bit about May being Mental Health Month throughout the month, because May is Mental Health Month. I am a mental health care provider, licensed professional counselor, and you can go to the web and you can find me at www.alterolecounselor.com. .net. That's Alterol Counselor. Alterol with two L's, counselor and O-R, .net or .com. My .net is a little bit more updated webpage, so alterolcounselor.net. You can also, if you're looking for a therapist, you can go onto your computer and Google Find Therapist. Chances are you're going to have several different things that are going to come up. One of them would be Psychology Today. It's one area where I know I also advertise. And there are a number of others also that come up. But what you would do is, generally speaking, is you would put in either the name of your town or a zip code, and a lot of times how far you're willing to travel, that kind of thing, and names will come up. It's really important that you know what you're looking for. A licensed clinical social worker, like I said, they don't have the same kind of education and theories that I have. A psychiatrist, mainly medication. A psychologist often does a lot of forensic testing. Not that a psychologist doesn't do counseling, they tend to be geared a little bit more towards the testing area, like a school psychologist. And then, as I had mentioned, we have coaches. And coaches work at dealing with present issues. They don't look at the history of anything. And they're not licensed. They don't have a governing body that licenses them to practice, which is probably something that's going to happen for them in the future. So if you are interested in setting up an appointment, you can find me again on the web. You can call me at 908-237-2899. That's 908-237-2899. And I don't like to keep a waiting list, so I get you in as quickly as I can. And let me see, if you want to make a suggestion about my show, if you have a topic you would like to hear about,